having declined other and easier and more lucrative occupations, and I have dedicated myself to the Rabbonus, which means to the Rabbonus Shel Olam, to Torah, to Klal Yisrael. I can say with the Navi in my own way, Kano Kinesi Lashem Tzvakos. Without zeal, without devotion, without idealism, I never would have undertaken this as my life's work. And yet, what is my reward for all this? Ki ozvu brischa b'nei Yisrael. They forsaken thy covenant. I find myself preaching a doctrine they do not want to hear and teaching a lesson they do not want to learn and selling an item they do not want to buy. When sociologists take the statistics of demography and intermarriage and punch them into their sophisticated computers, and they are told and then tell us that if things continue this way, that American Jewry in less than 100 years will be down from 5.5 million chas v'sholem to 900,000 or 400,000 or 10,000. That means that Am Yisrael has abandoned the Brit. So who needs me? Es mizbechai secha harasu. Jews have overturned the altars under the guise of a misguided modernism and the impress of a muddle-headed liberationism. They have destroyed the Kedushas Beis HaKnesset by tearing down the mechitzes, opening the parking lots on Shabbos, canting women in the minyan, transforming the nature of the rabbinate, enshrining Amoratus in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. When shall the prophet prophesy? And when shall the rabbi teach if Mizbechai Secha Harasu? If halacha is treated with contempt, if tradition is branded as obscurantist and the Neanderthal, if Shabbos is desecrated, if there are no shuls where Kedusha is observed and revered, v'yesna v'yecha hargu b'chore v'yivaser ani levadi v'yavakshuas nafshi l'kachta, what use is there in continuing a struggle that is doomed when congregations can feel that with impunity they may eject loyal rabbis because they refuse to bend the knee to the Baalim of suburban America? When school boards reveal an oppressively and aggressively abysmal ignorance of what Jewish education of children is what is all about? When a rabbi, tired and weary of the constant friction and misunderstanding and confrontation, feels so often so painfully alone, so dreadfully lonely, socially ostracized, spiritually isolated, vayivoser ani levadi, vayivakshu et nafshi lekachta, of what use is it to be a rabbi even if they raise my salary and get me a car and send me and my wife on a trip to Israel, if they seek to suck out my very nefesh, my soul, by denying me those spiritual triumphs and satisfactions for which and for which alone I became out of in the first place. And yet, our outbursts leave us unfulfilled. The catharsis of venting our feelings and seeking to end it all is incomplete because we know in our bones what our conscience hears loud and clear. Malacha po'aliyo. What are you doing here? Why are you complaining? Maybe you didn't try hard enough. Maybe you don't have the moral warrant to climb into a cave and vent your spleen against your fellow Jews. So we determine to make a last all-out effort. We become dramatic and heroic. We pull out the plugs. We call mass meetings and we lead rallies and organize demonstrations, whether for Israel or against the PLO, whether for Russian Jews or against Chilul Shabbos. We precipitate communal confrontations with federations and centers and welfare funds, non-Orthodox temples. We fly into battle fearlessly and we make a great deal of noise. And the result? Hardly anything. Lo beruach Hashem, lo berash Hashem, lo be'ish Hashem. And that cold mama daka repeats the question, malacha po'aliyo. And we do nothing but give the same answers. We vent our frustrations and our anger and our impatience and our bitterness. And all we get finally is an apparent non sequitur, an irrelevant answer from the Hashgacha. Go to Syria. Lech shuv ledarkecha midbar adamosek. What does all this mean? I suggest that if the hints in the passage I just gave you are analyzed correctly, they yield a message of overarching importance for the contemporary Eliyahus suffering the same symptoms of spiritual distress and personal unhappiness. Permit me to list a few of these hints. There's a trip of 40 days and 40 nights. The action takes place at Har Horeb, which is Har Sinai. The locales are a desert, a mountaintop, and a cave. There is a theophany, a gilui shchina, accompanied by a series of natural outbursts of sound and fire, a covering of the face and a reluctance to look, and of course an irrepressible anger at the obstinate and backsliding disobedient Jews and impatience with their spiritual immaturity. It should be obvious by now that we hear in this passage the echoes of the career of Moshe Rabbeinu. The locations, the time, the setting, the psychological reactions are all there. Then there's another set of clues, two to be sure. The story of Eliyahu begins, in this part, begins in Be'er Sheva, and it ends in Damascus in Syria. These two areas are the loci that define the historical mission of Avraham Avinu. I suggest that the Torah, that the Hashkocha is teaching the Navi about his own mission, his own task on earth. Eliyahu is faced with two great historical archetypes of Jewish leadership, that of Moshe Rabbeinu and that of Avraham Avinu. Moshe, during his first sojourn at HaSinai, symbolizes the drama, the power, the spectacle that accompanies Gilui Shekhinah. He is the impatient leader who, much as he loves his people, cannot suffer fools gladly, is bitterly impatient with their petty selfishness, their concern for trivia, which blind them to the grandeur of their divine mission. He will make the heavens tremble and the earth boil over in an attempt to shake these piddling people from their moral lethargy. The other type of spiritual leadership is that of Avraham Avinu. Abraham is a man of great patience who never tries the spectacular. He's forbearing towards the Lots and will even negotiate endlessly with an Ephron. Much as is he offended by the Rishonim of Sodom, he is still willing to take up the cudgels for them. If necessary, he will mobilize troops and fight a war and wants nothing in return. He does not expect any miraculous conversions of his pagan peers, but he never gives up trying by exercising patient influence and gradual inspiration. His method is that of outreach. V'hanefesh asher osa b'choron. He does, of course, reach dramatic peaks such as the Akedah, but is done in the strictest privacy, and if the Torah were not Megala, if the Torah did not reveal it, we wouldn't know about it. There were no 600,000 witnesses. These are the two archetypes of Jewish leadership that stood before the mind of Eliyahu. His whole career had been a mosaic type and has left an indelible imprint on Jewish history. But as with Moshe, so with Eliyahu, not all Jews respond to such aggressive and dramatic leadership. Hence, like Moshe, Eliyahu is angry and bitter and frustrated. Like Moshe, he travels 40 days and 40 nights and climbs up Mount Sinai and experiences the kolos in Brokim and flees into a cave and casts his eyes aside, but it doesn't work and he is ready to give up, a defeated man. The same complaints has he that Moshe did against Am Yisrael, and his reactions were the same, but he could not succeed where Moshe did. And therefore, twice the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, Malacha po Eliyahu, and Eliyahu does not understand what God wants and gives the same answer twice. It is then that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam tells the Navi to go and return to Damascus. The event began in Be'er Sheva, it must now end in Syria. God is reminding Eliyahu that there's another model of leadership that he had entirely neglected, that of Avraham, who began in Syria and ended in Be'er Sheva. Eliyahu, Hashem Yisbarach is telling the Navi, retrace the steps taken by Avraham Avinu. Every prophet, every Jewish leader must alternate between the two models of Avraham and Moshe, using either one as circumstances dictate. You have followed only Moshe, but your generation was not ready for it. It has led you into despair. Now is the time to reverse the steps from Be'er Sheva to Damascus, to undertake your prophetic vocation on the exalted pattern of Abraham. Forgo the great spectacles. Abjure the dramatic actions. Forsake the climactic confrontations. And never, never become bitter or recriminatory. Never. Your way must now be that of slow, patient, gradual action. Throw yourself back into daily life, and even if you can perform miracles, do not expect Jews to be miraculously affected by them. Now is the time for an Abraham type rather than a Moshe type leadership. This, I submit, is a Torah's message for spiritual leaders, especially young ones in our time. Do not allow yourselves to cross the threshold of frustration too readily. Do not rant and rave against Jews who failed to respond to your idealistic self-sacrifice. Do not put too much trust in the shock action of demonstrations and rallies and mass meetings alone. Do not crawl into a cave and lament your bitter fate, and fight sometimes too. And look around for some other profession while there is still time. Toughen it out. Be prepared for a long and arduous journey. Know very well, my friend, that in the rabbinate, the one thing you must never expect is gratitude. Do not demand or expect that people will appreciate either your learning or your loyalty. You didn't become rabbonim in order to be appreciated. And yet, love them because they are your brothers and sisters. Pray for them and with them, because no matter how low they think, they're still much better than the Sodom Avraham Avinu prayed for. Do not act only as if you are at the climax of a great endeavor, as Moshe at Sinai was. Instead, imagine that you are the beginning of a long adventure, as was Avraham Avinu. Act with fortitude and forbearance. And if the call of Lech Lecha takes you away from home and family and the spiritual comforts of your life in yeshiva, follow your vacation happily and lovingly, secure in the knowledge that ultimately it will lead you into the promised land of a Jewish community, firm in its commitment to Torah and to the Rabbono Shel Olam. Always keep both archetypes before you. Moshe, who summoned his people to return to the ways of the Avos and attempted to restore Lev Bonim al Avosam, and Avram, who began without precedent and nurtured a vision of his and their children and attempted to lead them Lev Avos al Bonim. So my message to you, the Mesmachim of the past 7 years, those charged with the sacred obligation of continuing the historic tradition of Jewish spiritual leadership which began with Avram through Moshe and Eliyahu, is to choose carefully the appropriate model for your specific condition. Above all, do not despair, but take courage and take heart. Know that in your congregations and schools there are unexplored islands of human goodness and tenderness, uncharted resources of Jewish love and loyalty and commitment, the Pintel Eid, undiscovered treasures of yearning for Torah and tradition. Never give up on a single Jew. Know that as Rabbanim you represent a tradition more ancient than that of medicine, more sacred than that of law, more noble certainly than that of commerce and trade. Know that you are but the latest link in a chain that contains the greatest luminaries in the history of our ancient people, and that the Masorah is committed into your hands for safekeeping and transmission to those who will follow you. Know above all that your yeshiva stands behind you. Your Rosh HaYeshiva stand beside you. The ideals of the Torah and the Masorah you learned here stand before you to keep you company in your loneliness, to allay your apprehensions, to mitigate your frustrations, enhance your courage, and to recharge you with the inspiration to succeed despite all obstacles in the marvelous and wondrous task which you have undertaken to transform a mere congregation into a Kehillah Kedosha, a mere school into a Makom Torah, and a mere Jewish community into an Am Hashem. Hineni sholeach lachem es Eliyahu hanavi b'fnei bo yom hagadol v'hanora v'heshiv leiv avos al banim v'leiv banim al avosam.
The Mesmachim will be presented by Rav Zvulun Chalap, the director of Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Hanan and the Yeshiva program. Rav Chalap.
Kvod Nasi Yeshivasenu Hakdosho Harav Lam Shlita. Kvod Morenu Rabbeinu, Harav Soloveitchik, Shlita. Kvod Mori Rabbi Harav David Lifshitz, the Suvok Harav. Kvod Mori Rabbi Reb Noach Borenstein. Kvod Rashi HaYeshiva, Shlita. Beloved Mesmachim, ladies and gentlemen, it has been given to me the great pleasure and honor to present the Mesmachim 361 of them, Liyai and Hara, Chen Yirbu, the majority of whom have collected here this day, to this august assemblage of Gedolei HaTorah and distinguished guests. I know that I will be echoing the profoundest sentiments of all who are gathered here, Rabbeim, parents, wives and friends, when I give expression to two very particular wishes, which I believe relate directly and appropriately to you, dear Mismachim, almost all of whom I have worked with in the course of the last 7 years. The first is Rav Brachos. May Hashem give you the rich bounty of blessings. Shlomo HaMelech in Mishle proclaims Ish Emunos Rav Brachos. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. And Rabbi Tanchuma in the Medrash Rabbah tells us, Ish Emunos Zemoshe, that the faithful man, the Ish Emunos, is Moshe, the first Masmich, and from whom the long chain of authentic Smicha must arise. As it says, Lo Chein Avdi Moshe, B'chol Beisi Nemonhu. Not so my servant Moses, for he is trusted in all my house. What catches our attention is the appellation Ish Emunos. It should have more properly said Ish Nehemon. And beyond that, why the plural Emunos? It seems to me that here we have expressed quintessentially the challenges of Rabbanus and its expectations. The word emunah certainly conveys the notion of ne'amonus, of trustworthiness, of faithfulness. But it also and more plainly means faith and belief. The true and complete Jew is the ma'amin and the ne'amon. The Ish Emunos is the man of faith and the faithful man. Unfortunately, there are men with the trappings of faith and even its nomenclature, but they're not ne'amonim, not by a long shot. They are not trustworthy in their interpersonal relationships or faithful to principles and ideals. On the other hand, we have honest people whom you can trust with your very lives, but they lack faith. A Rav in Manhig B'Yisrael has to be a man of faith, a mami in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and believe that nothing is impossible with his amunah, that he can achieve and achieve mightily, however unpromising the terrain of his responsibility. But just as surely, he must be a Nemon, a paradigm, a model of faithfulness and integrity. To the Ish Emunos, the man of faith and the faithful man, comes Rav Brachos, the bounty of blessings. And it is in this sense that we wish you Rav Brachos. The second wish is Mazel Tov. On great and happy occasions, Jews extend to each other the felicitation of Mazel Tov, good luck. But Mazel refers to the stars, to the signs of the zodiac. And one may perhaps wonder, how did this bit of astrological configuration smacking as it does, Rachmana Litzlan, of pagan worship, infiltrate into our faith. Our late Rebbe, Rav Belkin Zecher Tzadok Livracha, at a convention of rabbis nearly 15 years ago, happened to touch upon this very question of mazel. He referred to the curious and on the surface fatalistic doctrine of life and being espoused by the great Babylonian sage, the Amora Rava, who said, Bone chayim azone lav bischus atalia ela b'mazol atalia. Children, life, and sustenance do not depend upon merit, but only upon mazel. The term mazel is commonly and usually understood to mean luck. It would seem that this kind of life you renders much of our yomim noroyim and tfilos useless. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, why pray to God for life and all the blessings of life? Why invoke good works and indulge in entreaty if they all avail not? And the word and only luck matters. But in tracing the word mazel to its Greek origins, we see it to have meant originally, and more precisely, not star or luck, but destiny. The stars are only symbolic of man's destiny. And this is what Rava meant. Every man, every woman, indeed all of creation, are vouchsafed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu their particular destiny, which is entirely separate from one's intrinsic worth and wholly independent of objective merit. But destiny signifies only the ultimate and maximum potential of man. Whether or not, however he will fulfill his destiny, and to the extent he does, be it in years, children, learning, money, and fame, is left to man himself and is much more than a matter of stars and of luck. Here is where our prayers and Masim Tovim and our Talmud Torah come in. While they cannot change our destiny, they help us to realize it. And it is in this sense of mazel that I say to you, mazel tov. May you all strain to the uttermost reaches of your destiny. In Talmud Torah, as manhigim of our people, as well as in your personal lives, as sons and husbands and fathers. And may you inspire all those who come within the compass of your influence to attain the fullness of their destinies, of their mazel as well. Mazel tov. Now I will have to call upon the forbearance of the assembled here. We will call the roster. There are 361 names. But this is only reflective of the altogether historic nature of this occasion. I would implore you to withhold your applause until the very end, if you're still here. And as I call the names of the musmachim, I will ask them to please rise. So those who begin with A will have to stand a long time. Rabbi David Abramchik, Chaplain Moshe Abramowitz, Rabbi Edward Abramson, Rabbi Everett Ackerman, Rabbi Aaron Adler. I have been spared a very difficult duty by the President. I'm very grateful. He has asked me, instead of asking you all to rise by name, that you rise en masse now. The names are here. I will ask you all to remain standing just for a moment. The saddest note, which must needs sober us in this otherwise glorious day, is that two of your chaverim, were taken so early by Hashem, both of them in the midst of service, in the midst of Avodas HaKodesh, and could not be here with us. Rabbi Robert Landsberg was serving a congregation, indeed, who was appointed to a very fine community, just as he was stricken. And Rabbi Norman Novoseller was part of the yeshiva family, serving Yibodel Chaim with Rabbi Avrich in the alumni office. Yehei Zichram Baruch.
To represent the Musmachim, one of those who today is being honored is the Rosh Yeshiva in our yeshiva, Rav Mordechai Willig, who will present the Dvar Torah.
Kvod Nesi HaYeshiva, Harav Dr. Lam Shalita, Kvod Mori Varabi, Harav Hagon, Rav Yosef Dov, Halevi Salavetchik Shalita, Roshi HaYeshiva Shalita, parents, members of the board, fellow Musmachim, ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday's Torah reading opens with the verse, Vayihi Bayom HaShemini Kara Moshe Li'aharon Ulevanov Ulezeknei Yisrael. And on the eighth day, the culmination of the initiation of the sanctuary, Moshe called to Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. We too are celebrating the climax of a week-long order today by marking the initiation of more than 300 young men into the ranks of the Musmachim of Yeshivat Rabbeinu Yitzchok Elchanan, one of the great Torah sanctuaries of our time. These young Rabbanim have earned their smicha over the last 8 years and celebrate their Chag HaSmicha upon the completion of 8 decades of the existence of our yeshiva. So this pasuk of Shemini, of eighth, is particularly appropriate to today's occasion. As one of these Musmachim, who, with Hashem's help, has been privileged to serve on the faculty of our holy yeshiva, I have been asked to address you today in the tradition of Moshe Rabbeinu, the first and greatest Rosh Yeshiva, who spoke on that Yom HaShemini, the initiation, the Miluim, so many years ago. And to whom did he speak? Or more precisely, to whom did he call out, Korah Moshe? Not to all of Israel, but to only two groups. The first was the Aharon Ulevanov, to Aharon and his children. Here too are assembled elite members of the Mamleches Kohanim, men and women who have devoted themselves in many different ways to our noble institution. People who strictly observe our religious ritual, as Aharon did, and like Aharon, parents who have urged their children to continue in their path. Aharon Uvanov. On behalf of all the Musmachim, I express our gratitude to our parents for their inspiration and for the great sacrifices they made for us over the years to enable us to reach this great moment. Many of our fathers are also our teachers, and we thank them for their fulfillment of Vishinantam Levanecha, you shall teach your sons, in the literal sense. In my own case, my brother and I, who are celebrating this Chag HaSmicha together, are following in our own father's tradition, for he also received smicha from our yeshiva. Not Aharon Uvanov, but Harav Yaakov Uvanov. Our rabbis tell us that the happiest person of all on the Yom HaShemini of old was not Aharon himself, but his wife Elisheva, mother of his children. The Gemara in Brachos says that mothers are greatly rewarded for encouraging their sons to study Torah, and we are indebted to them for this encouragement. This same Gemara lauds the wives, the valiant wives, who exhibit the patience and understanding necessary for their husbands to devote themselves to Torah study. And so, on behalf of those of us who are married, I express our collective appreciation to our wives who share in our joy and in our sorrow, in our achievement and in our sacrifice, as we strive to make our smicha and our lives meaningful and productive. To my own wife, whose selfless dedication enables me to continue my Torah studies, I paraphrase Rabbi Akiva and say, Shali Shela. She shares equally in that which I have learned. The second group of people to whom Moshe called was the Zikne Yisrael, the elders of Israel. Our rabbis explained that the word Zaken means Ze Shekana Chachma, one who has achieved wisdom. Thus our Musmachim, though young in years, are among the Zikne Yisrael, for they have achieved great Torah knowledge in our yeshiva. For this, we are deeply grateful to our yeshiva, its rabbeim, its administration, and its supporters, and we pledge our loyalty for the future as we advance in Zikna and hopefully in Chachma. And so today, we have in a sense recreated the verse of Vayehi Bayom HaShmini Kara Moshe LiAharon ULevanov ULeZikne Yisrael. But what is the call? We have no temple, no calf and no ram to offer as a sacrifice, as Moshe commanded years ago. My call of today consists of two brief but fundamental points, both based on the Medrash, on this very pasuk. The first, Omar Rabbi Akiva, Nimshilu Yisrael Ka'of, Ma Ha'of Hazeh, Eino Poreach Belo Kinafayim, Kach Yisrael Ein Yecholin La'asos Davar Chutz Mizikneihem. Rabbi Akiva said, the Jewish people have been compared to a bird. Just as a bird cannot fly without wings, so the Jewish people cannot do anything without their elders. The message, both to laymen and rabbis, is clear. The rabbinate must be, in effect, the wings of the Jewish people. The rabbi must lead and the community must follow. But to achieve this position of leadership, it is not enough to be crowned rabbi. One must be a zokein, zeh shekana chokma. One must achieve great Torah wisdom. One must be capable of teaching Torah on the highest level and qualified to render decisions on practical matters of Jewish law, halacha. A leader in Israel is not one who possesses a klaf, a smicha certificate, but one who possesses, in the sense of kona chachma, a gemara and a shulchan aruch. The Ramah and Yaradeya said it best. A Talmud chacham, to achieve the position of respect and leadership the term connotes, must be one who has not only made Torah so umanuso, who has made Torah his full-time occupation, who is a rabbi or a teacher, but also sheyodea lisov litein batorah umevin midato berov mekomos haTalmud uferushov uvepiskei hagaonim. One who is conversant in the majority of the Talmud and its commentaries and the practical halachic decisions emanating therefrom. I don't know how many of our mesmachim have reached this level, but my real message is that if this is not an achievement, it should be a goal. And if this goal has not or cannot be attained, then leaders, whether laymen, teachers, or even rabbis, must in turn seek leadership from one who has indeed reached the level of Zeh Shekana Chachma, one who has achieved Torah wisdom. The second message, which enables one to implement the first, is based on the special significance of the number 8, Shemini. The Medrash quotes from Mishle, Chotzva Amudeho Shiva, wisdom is built on 7 pillars. Elu Shiva Simei HaMiluim. These are the 7 days of the initiation of the Mishkan. Rashi on this pasuk explains that wisdom is based on the 7 days of creation, the Yemei Bereishis, the natural world. These are paralleled, apparently, by the 7 days of initiation. The question therefore arises, why an 8th day? Why is Bayom HaShmini necessary, and what does it represent? The answer, based on the Maharal of Prague, is that if 7 symbolizes the natural, 8 connotes the supernatural. Thus, for example, Chanukah commemorates an 8th day miracle. Torah, too, is supernatural, having been received only by divine intervention in the natural order. Therefore, the Torah was given after 7 weeks of 7 days. We rejoice with the Torah on a holiday preceded by 7 days of Sukkos, which represents the 70 nations, the universe at large. One can achieve mastery of Torah only through Siyata Dishimaya, the help of God. The Yom HaShmini was needed to illustrate that only through God's intervention could the sanctity of the Mishkan be realized. Our initiation as Rabbonim, like the initiation of the Mishkan, was completed be'ezras Hashem, with Hashem's help, and for this we publicly express our gratitude. But how does one merit Siyata Dishmaya, divine assistance? The answer lies in the symbolism of yet another mitzvah performed on the Yom HaShemini, the Baris Milah, circumcision, symbolizing sacrifice. We must be willing to give of ourselves, not only to help ourselves, if we want God to help us. It is only through Siyata Dishmaya that one can realize the goal of Zeh Shekana Chachma, of Torah wisdom and leadership. And it is only through Mesiras Nefesh, self-sacrifice, that one can earn Siyata Dishmaya. As the Gemara comments on a pasuk of yesterday's special reading of Parshas Parah, Ein haTorah miskayemes ala b'misha meimis atzmo aleha. The Torah can be mastered only by those enduring extreme personal sacrifice. This can take many forms, but we newly crowned musmachim of Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan must be willing to make these sacrifices if we are to realize our great potential and become true Talmidei Chachamim, perpetual students whose entire lives are devoted to Torah. This then is my call to all those here assembled. I conclude with the bracha which Moshe uttered on that Yom HaShmini so long ago. Yehi Ratzon Shetishre Shechino B'Maaseh Yedeichem. To our president, our Rosh HaYeshiva, friends and relatives, and especially to my fellow Musmachim who celebrate the Chag HaSmicha today. May it be God's will that His presence bless all of your endeavors. Amen.